and of Joan and the well you often see. Well, there are many, many, many others through the Bible, and I should like to meet them all, I do declare. And by and by the Lord will surely let us meet them at that meeting in the air. For there's going to be a meeting in the air, in the sweet, sweet by and by. And I'm going to meet you over there in that home beyond the sky. Such singing you will hear, never heard by mortal ear. It will be glorious, I do declare. And God's own son, he will be leading one at that meeting in the air. Well, many things will there be missing in that meeting, for the mourner's bench will have no place at all. And there will never be a sermon preached to sinners, for the sinner has refused to heed the call. And there will be no mourning over wayward loved ones. There will be no lonely nights of pleading prayer. All our burdens and our anguish will be lifted at that meeting in the air. For there's going to be a meeting in the air, in the sweet, sweet by and by. And I'm going to meet you over there in that home beyond the sky. Such singing you will hear, never heard by mortal ear. It will be glorious, I do declare. And God's own son, he will be the leading one at that meeting in the air. And there the doubters will be missing altogether, and all the skeptics will be absent on that day. There will be no grumblers present to disturb us, and the ancients will be busy far away. But there the saints will have his seal upon their forehead, dressed in raiment none but ransomed ones can wear. All who have the wedding garments will be present at that meeting in the air. For there's going to be a meeting in the air, in the sweet, sweet by and by. And I'm going to meet you over there in that home beyond the sky. Such singing you will hear, never heard by mortal ear, will be glorious, I do declare. And God's own son, he will be the leading one at that meeting in the air. For there's going to be a meeting in the air, in the sweet, sweet by and by. And I'm going to meet you over there in that home beyond the sky. Such singing you will hear, never heard by mortal ear. It will be glorious, I do declare. And God's own son, he will be the leading one at that meeting in the air. Aren't you looking forward to that? I think Sister Trudy's going to come sing for us this afternoon. Since Sister Regina's not here, she's gone.
break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. There's an army rising up. There's an army rising up. There's an army rising up. To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. There's an army rising up. There's an army rising up. There's an army rising up. So break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. Chain, to break every chain, to break every chain. I hear those chains falling. I hear those chains falling. Break every chain, break every chain, break every chain.
To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. Amen. I really enjoyed that. Amen. Amen. Let's turn over to 323. We'll start off with a chorus. Hallelujah to the Lamb.
Hallelujah to the Lamb. Hallelujah to the Lamb that was slain upon that old tree, and by his stripes we are healed, and by his blood we are sealed. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Well, it was told that he would come, and the race he would run, well, it would end on an old rugged cross. But when they laid him in the tomb, the power of the Lord came in that room. Now he reigns, yes, he reigns forevermore. Lamb, hallelujah we are healed, and by his blood we are sealed. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Well, church, he's coming back someday to take us home with him to stay. His glory forever we'll share. And when that last trumpet sounds, we'll all be glory bound. Up there we'll live forever and evermore. Oh, hallelujah to the Lamb. Hallelujah to the Lamb that was slain upon that old tree. And by his stripes we are healed, and by his blood we are sealed. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God.
He deserves all our praise, don't he? Let's all stand this time. We'll change the order of service. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. Yes, I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord.
Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you.
Amen. Yes, I want to see you. To see you high and lifted up.
That you're designing
in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing.
Everybody in the house of the Lord, if you'd like to turn in your scriptures, turn to Ephesians 1, and then we'll go to Job 38. Ephesians 1, Job 38. Bible study this coming Saturday. Come and be with us and have a good time in the Lord, 6 o'clock. And then remember that Brother David Gadman will be with us this coming Sunday on the 8th. And just pray that the Lord would be with him to speak to our hearts. And then Brother Joe Green will be with us, the Lord willing, on these to preach on the 11th, Wednesday the 11th. So remember that and just ask the Lord to be with each one that they would come and speak to our hearts, because that's why we desire for people to come and to do that. So any other announcements? I generally forget. Maybe I've not forgot this one, but anyhow. So Ephesians 1. Lord Jesus, we thank you that truly you have opened our eyes of our hearts to be able to see you through the revealed word that has been brought unto us in this last days. And we believe that you, Lord, are here now to make that word alive into each one of our lives. And Father, we're resting upon you and holding to that point that you promised it. And believe in your promises are yea and amen. just have your way now as we speak to your people, reading your word and talking about it. Just bless each one. Open our eyes till we may see that word. Then let it be made manifest because we believe you. Reach down and touch the sick among us because you promised it. And Lord, you said you sent your word and healed us and delivered us from destruction. So just let your light shine on the word that it would open up and then speak to our hearts and lead us into thine understanding. Forgive our sins and guide us in your loving grace in Jesus' name. Amen. Ephesians 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him, when? Before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Having predestinated, chose us, then predestinated it to be. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to him according to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he had purposed were in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things were in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. The prophet would say, how far does the redemption go? Even into the heavens, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after ye believed ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. It's already purchased, already done, but waiting the part to be made known. Okay, Job 38 says, where wast thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare, if thou hast understanding. Who hath laid the measures thereof, if thou knowest? Or who hath stretched the line upon it? Whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened? Or who laid the cornerstone thereof? When the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy. You may be seated. The Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. Now, to back up a second, but then to carry on, we were talking this morning, is it that we were chosen by him? If you're doing it that way, then you can make it a respecter of persons. But if we were chosen in him is a different statement than to say you were chosen by him. All right? And how could we be chosen in him? By being in him as part of the eternal God, the eternal word, that he was, being part of him. See, then it's not hard to understand how things would be. That the 126 man would be the one true Christ, and that it would be in a multiple form or way and be divided down among the many born-again believers to come forth to make manifest in their times the seed that was there. I told you this morning, I'm a firm believer. I believe in a predestinated seed. I believe, as 154 of the Church Age book, that it's not the person, not this you're looking at, not, you know, these things. But It's the seed, our word, that comes predestinated eternally from God. And that this is not just a coincident thing happening, you know, that we just happen to run across salvation. We happen to do this. We happen to do that. You know, that God himself would foreordain it to happen for his own will or purpose. That it worked for his own glory. And that he would choose us in him as being part of that eternal life that was within him. And then we must choose the basis of receiving it to bringing it down to us in this situation that we're in, because we're not back there. And I don't believe there was anything back there but the eternal God, because that would, he would not be self-existing if anything else existed. Now, that's his ways of saying it. Before anything ever came into being, he was self-existing. All right? Then there would be no way we could be back there as people, as souls, like, you know, people would read even the prophets, you know, and say that our souls were back before the foundation of the world. That's right. I believe it in his mind. Because the other statements that go with it, showing what it is, he said, if you wasn't back there, so that means somebody was not back there, or he would not have made that statement that way. See, if you wasn't back there, you never will be back there. But if you was back there, a part of God in his economy, then there's no way to keep us from coming to the truth. But that still doesn't make it that we don't have to follow the word, and search out the word, and try to walk in the light of his love to where that we can see and accept what he has done for us. Because I'm a firm believer in the preexistence of eternal life. But I'm a firm believer in that you and I must receive eternal life into our souls before we can talk about eternity within us. All right. What God says, he sees. You remember we were dealing with that. The thoughts of God are eternal. All right. He can never have a new thought. But see, he thought of Judas Iscariot. All right. He thought of him and what he would do. Okay. Then that put him into the basis to where he was not back there with that part that we've been speaking of eternal life. All right. Now, to make that people's back there, you would be going wrong. Make it exactly the way the prophet said it. We were part of him. Now you have eternal life. See? And as far as God is concerned, when the lamb stood as a slain, and we were ending up this morning, the lamb was slain, then your name was put on the book as a believer, and there's where you were chosen at. All right? And you were chosen in him, not just chosen by him. If you're chosen by him, you could make picking it out, you know. But not so with God. He doesn't do that. All right? We're going to get down to some situations when once we get over past and get into time with it. In another couple of messages, we'll be down to earthly doings. I'm sorry for the way I preach, but that's just the way I see things. And, you know, I try to express it to you the way that I see it. And I don't have the wisdom, no education and things like that. And I don't have enough natural common sense to be able to do. I just try to wait on him and let him speak to me about it. Then I try to bring it to you. But we ended up now this morning talking about that we were chosen in him before the foundation of the world. All right. So then something was going on back in eternity. All right? Now, what was that was going on back there? what was doing as the choosing part or whatever. And we established this morning, at least I tried to establish it, that you got to have his choosing before his predetermining. All right? See, then being chosen in him, then there's no problem of predestinating that. Right? Were you listening to what I'm saying, whether you believe it or not? If we can see that we were chosen in him, then there's no problem to see that you were predestinated. And then that doesn't tear up the scriptures, and you don't have to run back with the foreknowledges and all of the things. You can believe it like it says it. Because that's what Paul, see, he put it in there, chosen in him to fulfill his will. There's his plan, his purpose, his what he had in his mind to do. All right. Then predestinate that to take place. Brother Branham, I got him on the desk at home. He said, then for fulfilling God's plan, some way paraphrasing it, he said it was necessary that he predestinate a person to be lost. But he said it was also necessary that he predestinate a person to be saved. Now, how are you going to do that without making respecter of persons or choosing? So just wrap it all back up in him. If I have eternal life, that eternal life was in him. See? No problems with that. It was a part of him. All right? See, then in doing that, it brings it out to where we'll try to start this afternoon. Because I want you to now, I've got a little part to put in, and then we'll try to get into it. And if I have to, I'll continue it Wednesday. So please listen anyway. Because we're going to talk about a predestinated seed. And let's see, Brother Branham uses, I believe, the predestinated seed. He used it 104 times in the message. So it's a pretty wide, broad thing over a lot of time that he was talking. All right. Now, what does it mean when we talk about a predestinated seed? When God only has one seed, and that's his word. True? His word is his seed. It's not that he has seeds. That ain't even scriptural. He has one seed, Galatians 3:16, and to thy seed, which is Christ. All right? He doesn't have seeds as of many, because that wouldn't work. All right? But he has one seed, which is Christ, which is the word. All right? Now, then doing that, then it's not the person 154 church age book, somewhere in church age. It's not the person that comes predestinated eternally from God, but the seed or word. All right. Now, God didn't stand back before the world with a bunch of seed in his hand and throw it out, and there's apple trees, and there's orange trees, and there's bananas, and there's... That would be seeds. Now, he could do that if he wanted to. You understand what I'm getting at? I mean, if he wanted to, that's fine. But it was the thoughts of his mind was the word that brought that into being. He spoke it as one thing, and read Genesis 1 up to verse 26, and you'll find that many, many things would come into being just by one word being spoken. Let there be trees. Let there be this. You know, and in doing that, we get into that. Which came first now, the chicken or the egg? Well, in the beginning, God created chickens. He didn't create eggs. Well, he could have created eggs if he wanted to. Yeah, and he could have left you and I as a monkey if he wanted to, but he gave us a choice to get away from it. All right? But now, it's not literal seeds. It's his spoken word that created. All right? See, now most people, or a lot of the people of the message, say The seed was in me when I was born. And I always was eternal. I got a quote. That's true. Now, what are you going to do with it? Well, I'm just going to say what the prophet said. Well, let me say what the Bible said. It says in Acts 2:38 to be baptized in what? And it says Matthew 28:19 to be baptized what now? I said what the prophet said. I said what the Bible said. Well, are you going to baptize both ways, or what are you going to do? All right. When a prophet would say, you always, and I'll give these quotes later, I'll just paraphrase it, of course. When he would say, you always was eternal, read up above there and notice it right in there. He'll say, if you have eternal life. Yeah. We're to have enough common sense to know by looking in the mirror that we're not eternal. I mean, that'll take care of that problem. If it don't, wait a little while. You get a little older, it'll take care of it. Okay? You got that coming to you. Like I've always said, though, see, we like to do it. There's been more muscles torn and pulled by people standing in front of a mirror, you know, building up their muscles and things, you know, than they have working on the bench press. So go ahead, build up, pump all you want to. It won't do you no good. All right. Now, but what we're going to deal with is something here, then we'll drop back to this before the foundation of the world as to when the seed was placed there. But there is another point that I want to, for you to go with me and let's study on it because it's a good place to put it. Because we were on the point of this morning of talking about chosen in him and how that we were before the foundation of the world, not just in his mind, but as part of him, not as some beings that we were or something like that. No, it's a part of him. Now, how can he, if we were there with him, how can he be, you know, self-existing? That won't work. It's not sensible. He's self-existing, meaning he exists alone. Well, see, he had to exist alone. All right. But the eternal life that he had in him was part of his being. And in that, as we've been through it, in that was Father, Son, Holy Ghost, Redeemer, Savior, all of those attributes that he already had before, in the point when it was self-existing, he already had those attributes. He never gained them. He already had them. It just come over into displaying it. All right. Now, we kind of tapped it right at the end this morning, and I felt led to, so I'd been aiming to bring these out, so we'll just bring in a little points to see a little bit more about the before the foundation of the world. So what about this Job that we read? Where were you when the morning stars sang together and the sons of God shouted for joy? All right, let's just read a few things Brother Branham has to say. Go ahead with 1A, and it's a message called Witnesses, preached in 1953. And watch what he said. He's talking about the religion that he had, you know, is the oldest religion there is in the world, because that's what it is. It's when the morning stars sang together. The oldest, you remember the old black man when he was up preaching, you know, and he said he started off in heaven and brought him down the horizontal rainbow, and I was looking at the quotes a while ago. If you want them, I'd be glad to get them. He said that's where he, the black brother that was preaching, said he was talking about the sons of God shouting for joy. You know, and he brought it down the horizontal rainbow, you know. And it really thrilled Brother Branham to hear those things. Right? But look, so Job said, where was you when I laid the foundation of the world? When the morning stars sang together and the sons of God shouted for joy. Millions of years before the foundation of the world. Amen. That's right. All right. Now, you're going to have to follow the thought because you can't put us back there as people and leave him self-existing. Right? But the 1:26 and 27, man being a part of God, I keep relating that to Tite, that was before the foundation of the world. We've covered that. We went through and proved the prophet talking about those things. All right? Now, in doing it, look what he says. Where was you when I laid the foundation of the world? When the morning stars sang together and the sons of God. Millions of years before the foundation of the world. Something was going on in heaven. Right? But how would you ever see it? Now, you know yourself that we never had thoughts of Job and the morning stars sang together, sons of God shouted for joy and things like that. We never had those thoughts. Some of the people, some of the theologians picked up a few things. Scofield has a little bit in talking about it, but they want to bring into a preexistence. They can't see that it was God's mind. You know, not an actuality. So then you're going to have to deal with that. Now, watch what he goes on to say. Look, let's get these out of the way then. Look what he said on number 1B. This is Spiritual Amnesia, 1964, 411. And he is in me. He's talking about being identified with him. Notice then every Christian that's a real, genuine Christian was with him. When the morning stars sang together and the sons of God shouted for joy, before there was a foundation of the world, we were identified in the immortal realms with God. 10 million years before the world was ever formed, I was back there with him if I've got eternal life. Now, what's the key? If I've got eternal life. Not to just stop and say, I was back there with him. I got a quote now. I was back there with him. Says, if I got eternal life. So what was back there? Me or eternal life? Okay, now. See, I was there with him. I was identified with him. When the morning stars sang together and the sons of God shouted for joy. All right? Now, think about that. He goes on through that paragraph talking about that he was with Abraham. You know, when he done, he was with this, he was with that. Every Christian stood with him. I was with him. And like I said this morning, the prophet will cover that when he came into the world, we was in him. We died on the cross with him. We went to hell with him. We rose with him. See? Well, all right, we know that what nothing about us as human beings. He's talking about eternal life. No problem should be on that, right? All right, look what he says on the serpent seed, which is paragraph 1 of the serpent seed. As we're taught in the blessed word that we had fellowship with him before the foundation of the world, when the morning stars sang together and the sons of God shouted for joy, way back before the foundation of the world. Now watch him. How do you know that that wasn't at the same time that the lamb was slain? Now, we've got a place to connect it. We've got the chosen this morning, chosen us in him. What? When he died in the mind of God, then that was the choosing. It wasn't him coming to earth and doing it. It was in God's mind he chose us. All right? And that was when, remember, I brought the quote, when it was the Lamb, when our name was put in the Lamb's Book of Life. Now look what he said. This morning star sang together, shouted for joy. How do we know that that wasn't at the same time that the Lamb was slain? That when God in his great thinking seen us shouting and rejoicing in our salvation through Jesus. Amen. But Brother Dale, that sounds like we're back there. Yeah, but you can't put nothing back there. And he'll be self-existing. Right? See, then you say, well, it's just his mind. You know. Well, somebody was shouting for joy. Somebody was rejoicing over what? We were rejoicing in our salvation. Where? Through Jesus. Now, was we back there as the Mormons believe it? See? That you were people back there. And we decided to come to earth to be lost. To try to help our father to be a father. No, that's pre-existence. I haven't got any pre-existence yet except pre-existence of eternal life. Now, if you don't think that's the way I've been teaching it, then I'm trying to tell you that I have no thoughts whatsoever about pre-existence except pre-existence of eternal life. But now we're getting that something did happen. The Lamb's Book of Life was made. Well, if your name was there, well, why couldn't you be there? But not your name, Samuel Dale, or whatever on earth. But the name that was written in the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world. But the brother said it's blackened out. We don't remember it. Right. See? But he said we was back there. If I got eternal life. So now there's only one thing, eternal life. Don't get yourself into existence yet. Leave it alone. How do we know that that wasn't when the Lamb was slain? When the Lamb was slain, your name was written on the book. Yeah. Come on. Is it the way Brother Branham brought it? Now, is it the predestinated seed to come? And how did he talk about the Lamb's Book of Life? He said, not necessarily Armand Neville. Now, what did he say? He said, not necessarily Armand Neville. He said, but what takes place while Armand Neville is on earth? Put Armand Neville in the book. So it's not our written names that we have. We had a name change. We're Christians. But we'll have a name there according to the book of Revelations. So no man will know but us ourselves. That's the scripture. All right. Now, I didn't try not to get into that thought so much because you see what it does with me. I go out and I want to go that way. Okay. Sorry. All right. Look at the next one, which is adoption taken in 1960, 518. And he's talking about, this is my son that was lost and he's found, he's dead and alive. Bring forth the fatted calf and the robe and etc. Right. No wonder when the morning stars sang together and the sons of God shouted for joy when they seen the plan of salvation. Now, when they seen the plan of salvation. Now, what? What is the plan of salvation? He just answered it. When they seen the plan of salvation, God putting your name on the book before the foundation of the world. Because that's the redeemed. What is the plan of salvation? God putting your name on the book. And see, by doing that, it's not something that's back there as pre-existences of different things. But I might not able to tackle it, but I will. How did Satan wind up knowing what to do in the garden? Simple question. You got the devil in the garden. How did he know what to do? Brother Brown said he had a knowledge of the principles of life, correct? Which meant he knew what would mix with what. That's that problem. All right. But his purpose was to try to enter the human race, correctly. But there was no way he could enter therein because he couldn't create. But what if he knew the plan of salvation? Because remember, sometimes just a little bit in the area of this that we're speaking of, then God first creates angels. And they worship him. And you know what angels are for? I didn't mean to go this way, so we'll just go and forget it. The Bible says angels are what? Ministering spirits to minister to the heirs of salvation. They have a job. And when you come into the world that was going to be a child of God, you was assigned an angel. Not in great connections to you, but a protector. Come on, am I in the message? I don't have these quotes. I'll be glad to find them, though. Those angels are ministering spirits to minister to the heirs of salvation. What took care of you all the way down through there? When you can remember having wrecks, you can remember coming close to death, you can remember things happening, and all at once something just changes it. You know, if God knew you was going to receive eternal life, but you wasn't going to receive it, and he would know whatever until you were 40 years old, what's this problem with assigning you an angel to take care of you get there? May I quote some more? That even your natural body is predestinated. He said he had to mix this veil with this veil with this one, this blonde-headed to the black-headed, and married you down to the family to bring you into existence. He's talking about this guy. You got any problem with that? I'll be glad to find you the quote. And he'd say it like this. He said, you got a black-headed woman and a black-headed man, and they're black-eyed and whatever, and said they have a baby and it's blonde-headed. Maybe that's not exactly the wording he used, but you know what I'm talking about. He said, where'd that come from? Maybe redheaded or whatever. Where'd that come from? He said, then you check back through your lineages and you'll find out great-grandmother maybe or great-great-grandmother was redheaded. And it come all the way down to you. Right? A lot of things your prophet would speak of that maybe sometimes are not just jangling a word. I remember Brother Moat was telling about one time that they were there and said that Brother Branham was just preaching to them and he was just telling a story and said they were so involved in him telling the story and just sitting listening, so intent. And after a while he said, I was just keeping y'all entertained. Sister Cleta can probably remember. She might have been there. I was just keeping y'all entertained. Said I was watching that angel that come over till it come to that person. You think Brother Branham couldn't do that? What about just telling you a story to keep you entertained? But that story would be a great story. I love to hear those stories, whether you do or not. I love to hear him say like this. Said, remember when you was a child? Said, there was just something different about you. He said, that was that predestination. Why can't you believe it was that angel watching over you? Now, may I quote Brother Branham? Only the born again have angels. So I can quote pretty good, okay. 75 years old, but I still got a decent memory. He said, only the redeemed have angels. Huh? See, because that's the scripture. All right. Okay. Another message I don't have to study for Wednesday. I already got it written. What about your prophet? I love this one. I love to tell this story. That's what I said. I love the stories, Brother Brown. But he's not telling stories. He's telling. He was laying up in a hospital room one day, and hospital bed, and a little nurse came in. This is off of the message, The Rejected King. And a little nurse came in and said, I believe you're Reverend Branham here for a physical checkup. He said, I am. She said, may I rub your back? Make you feel a little better with the alcohol. And I said, you may do it. Now, I believe if Peggy would have been around, and maybe Sister Meteor would have said something there, but I believe if Peggy had been there, she said, that's all right, honey. His back needs rubbed. I'll rub it myself. Okay. But he said, you may do it. He said, while rubbing on my back, she said, what denomination of church do you belong to? And I said, oh, I belong to the oldest denomination that there is. She said, what denomination is that? He said, the one that was organized before the world was ever organized. She said, what? I don't believe I know just that. She said, I belong to a certain church. Is it that organization? I said, no, ma'am. That was only about 200 years ago, that organization. But this organization started when the morning stars sang together and the sons of God shouted for joy when they seen the coming of a Savior to redeem mankind. They can put that up there if they want to because it's number one E. Now, when they seen the coming of a Savior, if the angels were created right about in that area of time, would they not know the plan of salvation? And if they're ministering spirits to minister unto you and I, why wouldn't they know of the plan? And the devil, the big old boy, he was there, and why wouldn't he know about it? But there ain't nobody back there. That's still when he's self-existing. Could it be? I love this. It may not be right, but you can just do what you want to with it. I believe that if God ever had a plan and a purpose, that he loves to talk about it. Right. I believe he loves to talk about it. What if he explained to those angels what he was going to do? Any problem with that? I think he spent 6,000 years trying his best to some way expound upon redemption for you and I. And would that not be a good thought? At least it is to me. It may not thrill you at all, but that's all right. So, just remember that we were talking this morning about how that Jesus said he chose them before the foundation of the world. Go ahead to Serpent Seed, number 1, paragraph 82. Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth, when the morning stars sang together and the sons of God shouted for joy? Who were those sons of God that was shouting for joy? Jesus told them that I had joy with you before the foundation of the world. So you know what? Ever who he was telling that he had joy with them before the foundation of the world, that was the ones that was shouting. Can you read? Is that readable? Is that plain language? See? Who were these sons that were shouting for joy? Jesus told them, who? The disciples. What? that I had joy with you before the foundation of the world. But see, it's totally gone from our remembrances. But what about them? What about them? I know the story, because basically all you can deal with angels to talking to people, and that's what you hear preachers preach. They only preach the opposite side of the truth anyway, and I'm sorry to say that. But most of you preachers preach that the angels, they just give us a nature. That's a quote from Brother Branham. The fallen angels give us a nature. They have something to do with us, right? They give us a nature. That's why you see this kid act like this kid act like that, this person act this way. They give us a nature. Now, that's Brother Branham. Well, now, if that is true, and we believe it, that they would have something to do with our natures, you know, ourselves doing when we come into the world, then what would be the trouble with the angels having to do something with us also? Any problem? Any problem then with a man stand like myself and then you get thinking I'm exalted but not do it, just try to tell you that God's on his truth? When I was 11 years old, I saw God in the church. You say, well, what did he look like? He looked like just a form at that time, just a shadowy form. And my little buddy, you've heard me tell it probably 10,000 times, my little buddy, he said, you better go to the altar. God is dealing with you. Well, I knew what he was. But I wouldn't go. I walked away and held on to the seat till I had to hold on to keep from at least even nothing else passing out or falling away. Because it was real to me. You can think what you want to. I always wondered about that. Why would he allow me to see that? May I quote Brother Branham? Sometimes God allows things to happen to some people that they can tell other people about it. Don't you love to hear him tell about the things he saw? Well, I love to hear you tell about it. You want me to tell you a story, Sister Jean? Sister Jean saw something one time. I got a decent memory. I can go back in some of your lives and pull out some things. I'm good things that you've told me about over the years. I believe in it. I don't believe Brother Branham was the only one that seen angels. Yeah. All right. But see, then after I come to the Lord, I always wondered about that. I wondered, why would that happen to me? And like I told you, for that time, that was about 11 years of age till I got married, 18 years of age. When I would do wrong, I would think of that not being good. Now, if I'm lying, it's the lie of mine, so don't worry about it. But I would be concerned about things. I didn't cuss. I didn't drink. What little smoking I'd done was just a fad of everybody with a pipe sticking up over 1955, 56, with a pipe sticking up over your sun visor of your car, and mine never did burn enough to get it burned out. I used to tell I still had it, but my wife said I didn't, said it was another one that they had bought. She picked up before we could go to something we was doing with the Pam and them years ago. But anyhow, mine never did get burned enough to do nothing. I just didn't care. And I'd done a lot of other things, but there was one thing certainly that held on to me. I would not have anything to do with a married woman. Mm-mm. That was beyond all reasoning to my thinking. As a 16, 17, 18-year-old boy, I had high respect for women. Always have. I honor them because maybe that's why I stand up for them a lot. Right. But you see, you say, well, would that make you any different? No, that made it worse. Brother Colley got on to me one time because I used to say this, and he got in the pulpit and rebuked me for it. And I used to say that, you know, I was the chiefest of sinners. You know, the Apostle Paul said that. Now, what about a man that was so close to the truth that all he needed was Jesus Christ because everything else was perfect? And he said, I'm the chiefest of sinners. I used to quote that. Brother Colley got up here and he said, Brother Dale didn't live like we do. He said, he don't need to be saying that he's chief of sinners. I said, well, it's the truth. I'm the chiefest. Because that way, he said, I know what it is. But what about angels being with you? Yeah. About 1968, 69, I saw an angel in my home. It's so real until I grabbed a pistol and went after it. That's how real it was. It wasn't no fugitive of my imagination. I've been asleep and wake up. I know what it is. But when you open up your eyes and you're laying in bed and you look and somebody's standing in the doorway looking at you, it's about time to get up and do something. Run or do something. Because if you can see, it's real. Well, I always wondered then, because of the connection of dreams that I've had with the home in Gillsville and how that we were supposed to be and that Anna would come and Forrest would come and how that I told those stories or the dreams before, way before they ever came, that Brother Moat would have a little boy and I'd have a little girl and saw those things and it was connected to a lot, to different things. And I saw it again over in the home that we're living in. I'd always wondered, and I moved away, sold a home, moved over where we're at. But at the same time, I had a dream of showing that little girl at that doorway and a little baby. And then from my home, I turned and looked, and a pillar of fire went. And you go in front of that door, because I laid that house out. It's perfectly exactly lined up with the highway. I've done it myself. And if you'll turn and look, you can look and you'll see right where we're living is where the light went to. Right. So I'd wondered, did I move away? Until one day, he appeared again. Does he talk to you? No. Is he real? Yes. Maybe that's my angel that was sent to help me. Do you put any confidence in the fact that you've seen angels? One thing, it's God's word. It's promised to be in God's word. I wouldn't believe no angel that would tell me anything contrary to this message. And I've had spirits try to tell me things contrary to this. It's got to be based upon God's word. I don't care who the angels are, what they are. Just saying that for one thing to get you to see about angels. They are sent to minister unto you. And they would have been back there hearing you sing. Because see, the morning stars, all right, that's the angels. I can give you that for the prophet. The sons of God are the children of God. Right. Amen. All right. And see, then that would be the rejoicing and going on, but yet it would not be in us as us being back there as we think, but would be a connection to the eternal life that would finally come into us. Well, if you have eternal life, it goes just as far back as it goes forward. Is that true? It has no distance that goes back, this is very far, it goes forward. Because it's eternity. Then why wouldn't you believe in God and angels and things? See? Why wouldn't we believe in those things as being true? All right? Now, we know for a certainty that we wasn't backdire as people. We know for a certainty that we wasn't backdire as some form, like a form of people running around. And like I've said, no more, I don't believe that before anything ever happened, and you label him self-existing, I don't believe in an extraterrestrial beings that were back dire with him up in some form called heaven, and then he decided to work himself down this way. I don't care what supernatural beings you would think of. When you label his name self-existing, you don't have another world like Mars and Kryptons and things out there that Jesus come down this way and started something, but they were a whole lot back there. No, they wasn't a whole lot back there. He was self-existing. But I neither do I believe that he was just a floating spirit floating around back there either. I believe he was real. I believe he lived in a place called heaven. That's the best words you can get for it. All right? And see, then, knowing it, what would happen? What would happen to this person? This who we are? That once he would bring it into existence of what was a part of him, what would he call it? A predestinated seed. He would call it his offspring. I just gave you a quote the other day where Brother Brown said the bride was back there as a part of him. But not his people. Not his souls. Mm-mm. There was one soul back there, and that was him. That's why the 126 man is just that one soul. Because if you can explain it, try doing it. How could Eve be in Adam? Did they just have one soul? No. She had to have a soul. She was part of him in theophany. So then there's just one theophany. See, that couldn't come because sin entered the picture. So then it had to move down. And let me quote Brother Branham. Blasphemous names. No, excuse me. Who is this Melchizedek? What did he say? He said, we bypassed the theophany. He said, Jesus came word body first, and then he came down to being. He said, we bypassed that. See, had we been people back there as identities, then that wouldn't work. So we wasn't back there as identities. We were part of that life. And we bypassed being identities. We just never come that way. It's not a 285 that you drive around Atlanta. We just didn't come that way. He did. But we was in him. Amen. When he came that way. But we came into flesh to be tempted. We become the word here. He was the word there. But he was all the word. Which that means whatever been the word you are was in him. Back there. As the word or seed. All right. Listen, I don't mind making these statements because I believe them. But I believe they must be explained. Listen to what he says. Go ahead to number two. Listen to this one. So we'll get on to our thought for just a minute. We'll continue it Wednesday. And look what he says. Thinking Man's Filter, 1965, paragraph 108. Notice that word cannot deny itself. Then it is satisfied or its desire, or it's the desire. It's the desire of what? What made you desire it? What made you desire the Word in the first place? What made you desire eternal life? Right. Now, you say, well, when you get old, you start thinking about dying, and you start wondering about eternal and heavens. And may I quote Brother Branham? When he spoke about the women, what did the guy say? He said, you just ain't old. You just ain't young. He said, before I was younger than you, I preached this. See, what was he saying? You just ain't young. You don't have the desires we do. We're young. He said, before I was younger than you, I was preaching this. What made you desire it in the first place? Because down in your soul, listen, there was a predestinated seed. Watch. Which was eternal life. Always laying in there. Always was in there. All that the Father hath given me will come to me. There isn't any of them going to be lost. You see, if I were trying to twist a doctrine, I wouldn't have brought that quote to you to start with. Because I've already asked you a question. Where was the seed when you come into the world? Well, the seed was down in my soul. Brother Brown said it was in my soul. Now, then he said it was eternal life. And said it would always lay in there. All right, now you just bypassed everything in the message and Calvary and all of the rest. Now, what are you going to do with it? Well, you've just confused me. No, honey, I didn't just confuse you. I exposed your confusing. I just brought it out in the open. That you don't know how to put things back together again. You got the cow up in the tree eating green grass. And so, oh, I love the message. Oh, I love everything he says. He said I always was eternal. But then he said I had to be saved. Now, they got to come together. I ain't saying he's wrong there. I'm saying he's right. But I'm saying without the right understanding, what are you going to make him to be? Well, I'm just going to say what he says. Thank God. So it was a predestinated seed, which was eternal life. Now are we getting something? There was a predestinated seed. Now what's the seed? Which was eternal life. The seed always was eternal. Not me and you. Okay. I better grab... Well, I'll keep going for a distance. I'm going to have to bypass in a minute some places to bring down what I need. But listen to what he says here on Christ the Mystery of God Revealed, number 3. It goes right by them, and they don't recognize it till it's gone. It only picks up the predestinated seed that God predestinated before the foundation of the world. Well, Brother Dale, you just read that the predestinated seed was in the soul. Okay, now let's read some things. Go ahead with number 4. I'll review these Wednesday night, so don't worry about it. We'll drop back, pick it up, and go back through. I keep doing that because I want you to listen. And what did he say? Paragraph 246. What did? The water struck that predestinated seed. Oh, my. When it did, he said, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God. You're the King of Israel. Okay. What was it? The seed was laying there ready. God sowed it back yonder before the foundation of the world. When was the seed sown? Back before the foundation of the world. Go to the next one. Why Christ speak? See, the seed of God is actually placed in you from the foundation of the world. And then when that first light first strikes the seed, it brings it to life. But the life, light must come upon the seed. Now we'll get back to that. Seed without light, what is it? What good is it? But to everybody else, the seed is something eternal. Okay? Go back. Where did he do it? I don't mind reading. This is still on Why Christ Speak, paragraph 108, which will be number 6. See, the seed of God is actually placed in us. Wait a minute. Go ahead. Bring it up. That's esteem that so highly because God in his mercy before the foundation of the world saw me and placed a little seed in there that my faith would fly above these things of the world. Now he's called me and I regard my place before the foundation of the world. When was the seed put there? Before the foundation of the world. Number 7, Christ's mystery of God revealed, paragraph 466. You're already his by predestination. The seed had to come to life. No world can get it. Oh, and he comes down to explain it. Sure, you'll understand. The seed was there. When was it put there? Before the foundation of the world has predestinated us unto eternal life. The seed laying there, he said. When was it put there? Before the foundation of the world. How was it there? Number 8. Taking man's filter. Go ahead, it's number 8. Thinking Man's Filter, paragraph 127. You know, is that it? Yeah, okay. I'm waiting on them, they're waiting on me. What is it? The germ, the seed word from the beginning. That you was in God at the beginning, standing here drawing the seed life, you was in God at the beginning. The seed is in your heart by what? Foreordination. Hallelujah. The seed is already in there. By the foreknowledge of God, predestinated. And when it draws, it can't draw through nothing else but the Word. Go on to the next one. Number 9, God's power of transformation, paragraph 240. And with his transforming power, planted a seed by predestination, and I saw it. Whose son am I now? Yeah, I can brag on him. And I've spent 33 years of my life bragging on him. If you would spare me another 30... If he would spare me another 3 years, I'll try to brag more on him. See, I can brag on my ancestor. Hallelujah. Who's my ancestor? Not his ancestors. Not his family. He that redeemed me and planted the seed of life in here and let me look down upon this word, sent down his spirit and said, here it is, speak this and it will happen. Do that. Oh my, I can brag on him. How did he do it? Through the washing of the water by the word of separation. What was it? There by what? Predestination. What is predestination? And knoweth it not, he says, it's got to come from the inside, which is the word from the beginning. In the beginning of the creation of God, when God began to create, bring you into existence, you see. You started back there as a seed and worked down to where you are now. And then you... We're all in Christ, and when Christ died, he died to redeem all of you, and you're a part of his word. Invisible union, number 11. Why was it put there, put in there? By predestination. It says, why, question. Was it put there? By predestination. You were foreordained to a son of God. Of God. You were in God before the foundation of the world. You're only manifesting his the day and the honor and all. Because what? which you are a part of that word by predestination. You're part of the word by predestination. This is where I was talking about a little bit this morning. Events made clear by prophecy. God does his own choosing by predestination, chose the prophets for every age. Notice, he fixes the nature of that prophet to fit that age. See, he fits his style, whatever he does. He's predestinated. I'll review these Wednesday. Let me get the last one and get the point. Go to 17. We'll be back up. The message is called Proving His Word. Go ahead up to number 17. I'll come back to these Wednesday. That's right. Bring it up. There you go. Okay. Now, if he hadn't have been in there, it's talking about life, right? To begin with, if she hadn't have been, hadn't have had a representation from predestination, it had never took hold. Now, what's a representation? There are some quotes from Brother Branham of representation by predestination. There's a lot of that. But what about a representation from predestination? It was not a seed placed in you when you come into the world. If it was, God wouldn't be a respecter of persons by putting something in you that he didn't put in everybody else. But may I quote Brother Branham? That the fact of faith that was in Moses was in every person that would ever come into the world. Every person has that same gift of faith. Why? Because we're in the image of God. We have a connection to God. We have a pull toward God. And every person had that faith. They had an opportunity. But what made the difference? They didn't have like the little woman. The Pharisees, it was standing, as Brother Branham refers to her in a future home. A future home, yeah, right, okay. When he's referring to the little woman. And those Pharisees, he said, they didn't have representation from predestination. He said, but she did. What did she have that was different? She had something placed in her, right. But when was it put there? Now, I know the way they preach it now. They preach that when you come into the world, you come into the world with this seed. Parts of them do that. Other parts take it as you come into the world with this seed in you of eternal life. Now, I can't follow that. You say, well, the prophet said it. Well, there's got to be some reason that he said it. Because he can't be contrary to the word. Neither can he be contrary to his own self. The seed was placed in you before the foundation of the world. What? When you was a part of that man of 126 and 27. When you were a part of that eternal life that was back there. Because if not, now, what was back before the world? Bodies? Spirits? Souls? No. Is it that that's changed it? When he said your souls were made up before the foundation of the world. Then you got preexistence. But if he was saying that all people before the foundation of the world was in God's mind, you got it exactly right. Now it's come together. There's no argument about what it's saying. It's come together. Right? Just like I was saying, where it says chosen in him. It's got to come first. Predestinated can't come first. Chosen in him comes first. And then he predestinates. That's why I read that. He predestinates the prophets for the ages. He said, yeah, but them prophets, no, them prophets didn't have anything to do with being predestinated. Now, Brother Branham is a human being. Had a lot to do with human beings. But that gift that was in him was predestinated from God. That's why it'd work. That's why he'd say, bring me 24 of your worst cases, and I'll guarantee you healing for every one of them. Now, there's never been a man said it. Even Jesus never said that. You say, are you making him greater? No, I'm just making a point. See, the gift worked. That's where people don't understand gifts. The Bible says gifts and callings are without repentance. You don't have to repent. Brother Brown didn't have to repent to become a prophet. It just made it greater when he was a prophet and a born-again believer. Because the Old Testament people were prophets without being a born-again believer. But yet those prophets could not say anything. Even Balaam. Balaam says, I cannot say nothing that God don't tell me. Even a false man as he was, he couldn't go against God's word. But by being close to God on that little point of those angels and those things, but by being close to God and going into the presence of God, Balaam would stand there and look around and he says, there's got to be a way. As Satan did in the garden when he said, there's got to be a way for me to enter the human race, and he found Eve. Balaam stood there before God and he looked around and he says, I can't curse what God's blessed, but I can tell you one thing, Balak. He says, you get them women. You get them young boys down there with them Moabite women and said, they'll go after them and said, when they do, God will curse them. And that's exactly what happened in the Bible. He could not tell them something that God didn't tell him. He's the one that said, I don't see no problems in Israel. See? But you understand? When a prophet says things, they will be right when you get it into the right place. But with just a quote, you can quote yourself to death. Then we went through the whole thing, and I hope you was thinking with me that the only thing that existed back there was the eternal life of Almighty God. And when it existed there, that's when the seed was planted. That's when the morning stars sang together. The sons of God shouted for joy. That's when your name was written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Before the foundation of the world. When it was still self-existing. He said, I don't understand that because he created angels. Angels worked and made him God. But angels didn't make him to where he wasn't self-existing. Because there was nothing in those angels that could make him to the position he wanted. Mm-mm. Those angels couldn't make him in a position he wanted. They could only worship him, make him God. He was still self-existing because there wasn't nothing existed like him. The angels were not like him. They were created beings made for the heirs of salvation. All of that was back before the world that we just put it all together this morning and this evening, bringing it down. That's the purpose that I bring it for that, to bring it to one place. Where was the seed planted? Back there before the foundation of the world. Then when you come into the world, it was a seed of representation from predestination. From the fact that that little woman would finally come to it. Then she had a pool in her life. We know that when the Messiah cometh. Right? Let me say this one word. We talk about predestinated seed. You know that Brother Branham talked about the little woman at the well, and when the seed was planted, said it come to life right there? Did she get the new birth? When it was quickened to Simeon that he would not die until he seen the Lord's Christ, did that give him the new birth? When it was made known to Abel that it was blood, did that give him the new birth? When Moses met the person of the burning bush, did that give him eternal life in his soul? But yet, Brother Branham will say, look at there. As quick as that light struck that seed, it come to life. Look at what he's talking about. The little woman at the well, he said it. I've got the quote. He said it. She had faith for the time. Or the woman touching the hem of his garment, I believe was one. Faith for the time. What does he mean? He means that she got what she asked for. He means that she was not eternal in her soul because Jesus hadn't died. He didn't give them eternal life because they seen it. The disciples, two times, read your book, two times Jesus opened their understanding to the scriptures after his resurrection. That did not give them eternal life. Come on. Why can't you talk like that? Is it true? They couldn't get eternal life until Calvary and the day of the Holy Ghost coming of eternal life to come within them. But yet the word can be quickened. A prostitute go across the platform and be healed. It's revealed to her. She's healed. It don't save her. He said, and a true saint walk across and miss it. Right? A lot to this thing more than just talking about it, folks. A lot more about eternal life than just, well, I got eternal life. I always had it. According to God, if you ever had it, you always had it. But according to us and time, you got to wait till it comes. But we do have representation from predestination. From the fact that there was some part of me, if I have eternal life, there was some part of me before the foundation of the world. There was some part of you before the foundation of the world, if you have eternal life now. Why not believe that is your representation from predestination? Would it stop you from doing things? He tried to. He tried to. He tried to stop me. I didn't listen. And I don't mind quoting Brother Branham. Why did Brother Branham be like he was? He told him what? Don't smoke. Don't chew. Don't fool with women. The man tried to smoke. The man tried to drink. God kept him from doing it. Why? Because that way he would be a personal witness that you don't have to live like the devil. He's a personal witness. You think the Pentecostal people would have believed him? Had he been all messed up in marital situations and all messed up with drunkenness and other Allens and the different ones that was around, they wouldn't listen to him. They just put him in the category of everybody else. But he kept him straight to where he could bring you and I the message. And if he was so good to keep him straight, you think he can't keep his life straight in the basis of all this hunting on the wrong dates or all of these doing this away or that doing that away? You mean he can't keep him straight from there when he kept him from drinking and smoking? You see why? That it stirs me. Because we're following a prophet's message, which is his word. And remember, a prophet is a divine interpreter. Now, watch what I'm saying. Let me get it straight now where you won't go wrong. The prophet can't interpret nothing. Holy Ghost interprets. Okay, let's get that right. Okay, we lined up, start with Holy Ghost, the only interpreter of the word. Right, okay. Now we get it right. Now we quote what Brother Branham. That prophet was kept straight to where he could speak it and it be the right thing. Eternal life would be in the words of a man. What about being at the words of a man? What about being that? Think on these things. What do you think about before the foundation of the world? Well, I got the quotes. All right. But will they line up with the rest of the message? Because Matthew 28:19 is exactly what the Bible said. But Acts 2:38 is exactly what it said. It took a prophet to put them together for us, right? I'm going to make a statement that I believe is right. You know that there was a lot of people baptized in the name of Jesus Christ and Lord Jesus Christ before Brother Branham come along. There were denominations baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ before Brother Branham come along. You want to go to Jamaica, I'll introduce you to them. Coming from Haywood and then back into the black people coming out of Azusa Street. They were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. But all of them's connected to regenerations and different things. But Brother Branham brought Matthew 28:19 and Acts 2:38 together. And I've even heard people of this message say, you ever heard this one? We take Acts 2:38 for our baptism. The denominations take Matthew 28:19 for theirs. Get away from that word. But it is kind of dumb. Because it's the word of God. But to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ fulfills Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. See, they were never explained that. Those oneness people couldn't explain it. They just done it because the Word says it. The Bible does say, you ever noticed it? You know, the Bible does not say to baptize in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no scripture. There's no scripture that says Lord Jesus Christ. The scripture is Jesus Christ. Come on. If I'm wrong, show me. Do you know that's right? The scripture is Jesus Christ. If somebody come to this church and say, Brother Dale, I'd baptize in the name of Jesus Christ. You think I need to be baptized again? I've done it. I'd say if you were in a church that believed in water baptism under regeneration, I think you ought to get baptized again. And they did. Because they knew what that doctrine was. But it does say Jesus Christ. But when Brother Branham puts it, he says, Lord Jesus Christ. And that's where I love it. That's the way I baptize, because that's the way I found it, where he said it. To fulfill the great commission to baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, I now baptize you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the way I baptize. Because that's the way Brother Branham baptized. See, but you can't argue the point of, say, Jesus Christ in a thing. Get my point. You can argue scriptures all the day of your life and still be all messed up. You can argue quotes over predestination. But what has it done for you? What has it done for you, the teaching of the gospel? That's what's supposed to be the point. It's supposed to bring Christ to you and I. Come on, musicians. But do you see what I'm talking about? Oh, yeah, we got the communion. Hold it, musician. We got the communion. Thank y'all for keeping me straight. Yeah. But let's stand and then we'll sing and just sing a little bit, you know, I love him. And that way, in case somebody has a need, then they can come forth before we have the communion. Because we got everything we didn't get to have it this past month. And I love to have the communion. So we appreciate it. All right? Any needs for anybody? I love him. I love him. Do you have a need? Because he first loved me and purchased my salvation on Calvary's tree. What about it? Love me and
on
sister's having problems from the surgery that she had and everything. Some problems are mounting there, and she's going to the doctor, and we appreciate the doctors. Thank you for them. But yet our dependence is upon you, Lord, and we pray that you will take away this trouble before she gets to that doctor's office, that all will be well, and it'll be well there. No problems will be there. It'll all be okay. We believe you in Jesus' name. Amen. Anybody else? My salvation on Calvary's tree. All right, let's go right into the communion. 1 Corinthians 11:23. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do shew the Lord's death till it come. Wherefore whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. I love this. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that you come not together unto condemnation. And the rest will I set in order when I come. Let's just have a few moments of silent prayer before we go on into the communion and the foot washing, and just get everything right in our hearts and make sure all is well. Father, just bless each one of us. We come with an humble heart of understanding one thing, that there's none of us worthy of taking communion of any form. Yet our dependence is upon you, to believe you, and Father, to realization that Christ has paid the price and made a way to make us perfect in you, Lord. And thank you for choosing us. And we love you, and we just commit everything to you now in Jesus' name. Amen. The Bible said he took bread and blessed it. Father, we thank you for this bread. It's been made for this purpose today. And as we pray over it, we know that this is not your body, but it represents your body. And Lord, then we just take it as being what it is and thanking you for it, but it is in representation. And thank you for being so great to let us understand these things. And Lord, just sanctify the bread and the partakers in Jesus' name. Amen. There's a lot more goes with this than an example than what we think about, but that's what this is. It's an example. It don't make it the body, but it does represent it. And it makes it into that point that it represents those things. Well, if what was true back there in the Old Testament under the representation, how much greater should we think about it as today under the reality of knowing what it means and all of these things. That's why we don't just play haphazardly and order the bread or keep it and try to do like we used to do in our old ages and things and keep the bread and do all kind of things. And it's supposed to be burnt. Why? Because we're not trying to take over. We're trying, you know, to any other thing. We're believing to the word to be what it is now. Father, we ask you to just sanctify this wine to the partakers of each one. We know it's not your blood, but it represents your blood. And while we're here in the world, we know that we're not drinking the literal blood and eating the literal body. It's just examples that we are doing that we thank you for it. But in that, we ask you to sanctify it. Make us worthy to be partakers of these things. Guide each one of us in Jesus' name. Come more.